KSCU Santa Clara presents. Two nerds answering the call to become KSCU DJs. Join them now on this incredible journey.
It's a trap!
Great Scott!
New powers rising!
I got a bad feeling about this.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
There is no escape.
You will be assimilated.
What we do, it is useless to resist.
Resistance is futile.
You will be deleted.
Exterminate!
Prepare for battle!
Exterminate!
It's a madhouse!
We're doomed.
Ooh, old Jabba laughing. Gets me every time. We are Robots Attack. Jabba. Thank you for listening. And that guy over there blah-blahing and ruining my intro to the show.
What?
Is my partner, Caleb. I am Joe. What is Robots Attack? Now it's your turn to talk, Caleb. What is it? Tell the fine folks, since you want to talk so much on this talk show.
Yes. Well, Robots Attack, we are a show about things that are interesting, usually of the geeky variety. So things like comic books, movies, sci-fi TV shows. You heard some Doctor Who, some Battlestar in our intro, some Star Wars. These are things that we are into. We cover a little bit of news to begin with, and we also just, you know, we just have a good time.
Yeah, and never fret, we do play music
yes,
too.
Yes, we do play music. There will be music intermissions. So if all this makes your head go a little weird, it's okay. We'll give you some music too.
Do not fear, there will be music. In fact, after this little what's up segment, we like to call, we'll get to that music. But
indeed.
First, let's answer that question. What is up with you, Caleb?
What's up? Not a whole lot. Just usual, getting through the work day. And then,
do anything over the weekend?
Over the weekend, nothing too exciting. Just
wow, this is amazing radio.
I know, it's
Caleb.
Great. I'm sorry.
That's another thing you'll come to expect if you stick around with the show. I tease Caleb, but he likes it. So, and that's what this friendship is. And this friendship has been going for like over 15 years.
Yeah, it's been a while.
We work well together, I think. And
yes,
because I tell him what to do and he does it. So,
at least that's what
he thinks. So, yeah, I guess he didn't really do anything terribly exciting over the weekend. You know what? I didn't really do much excitement either.
Ha ha! She's on the other foot now, isn't it?
Well, actually, I'll tell you what I did do.
Hmm.
I played some Skyrim. Or I should say, Skyrim played me because, it like sucked my life.
I've heard a lot of people say that the moment they put Skyrim into their box of choice, they just sort of kiss their social life goodbye practically.
Yeah, if they can get it to work. Apparently, the PS3 is having a lot of major issues. The Xbox had some, but nothing compared to what the PS3 apparently.
That
so.
Seems to be a fairly common thread.
Yeah,
Black Ops had similar issues. Like, you know, Xbox. Not without a few hiccups.
Yeah.
But actually, no. With the Black Ops, the PC gamers took the largest part of
took
that particular. But it seems like that's kind of becoming a trend. Is the Xbox is good and everyone else kind of just limps along, which is unfortunate, because they deserve a first class experience also.
Of course.
Because these games are good. And,
oh, yeah.
And everyone deserves to should have it at its best quality.
Yeah, whatever. No matter the console
you
have or the computer.
That's why I call them boxes. Yeah.
There you go. Genius.
Yes.
That's what Caleb is, genius. That's why I have him on the show. It makes me look good. So. but yeah, that was pretty much my exciting weekend. And You know, we talked about Thanksgiving. That happened last week.
That was fun, yeah.
The holidays are starting to come up around the corner. I mean, 2012 is coming up in a few weeks. It's crazy.
We're almost a week deep into December already, and that's we're in the 6th day of December.
Yeah.
Already.
I know.
Folks, that means there's only 21 more shopping days left before Christmas.
Oh, my God.
No, I'm sorry. 19.
19. I'm going to get them now. Maria, what? I'm going to buy you a gift to make up for what I did.
Oh, I don't think there's enough gifts for that.
Come on. Let me at least try.
I'm sure he can try. But yeah. I don't hold that much hope for that.
Yeah. Anyway, that's us a little bit. That's the show a little bit in the nutshell. But you know what? What we like is when people participate in our show. And how you can do that, Caleb, you tell them.
There are a myriad of ways. First of all, there is our Twitter feed, which is Robots Attack Me.
And that you can
feel
free to tweet us during the show. We will have the page open. We will look at it, comment, tell us what you like, what you don't like.
Mm-hmm,
I
have open on my screen right now, watching it like a hawk for when something interesting happens.
And if you do want to just put "you guys suck," hey, more power to you, but that doesn't really help us much.
We prefer some construction in the criticism, please.
Exactly. Well, I should also say, though, if you're listening to this in your car driving, don't tweet us,
because
you might crash, and it's against the law. And so,
especially
pull
California.
Over, yeah, pull over and tweet us, or I forgot to make that disclaimer last week. I was like, yeah, I told them to email us and Facebook us and tweet us. I'm like, well, if they're on driving, might not want to have them do that.
Yeah, if you're driving, just enjoy, and maybe drop us an email afterwards. That would be great. Our Facebook page, you can find us by doing a search for Robots Attack. And then there is our website, robotsattack.me. And if you are feeling so inclined, you can email us at robotsattackshow@gmail.com.
That is right. And we will keep looking at those throughout the show.
Yep.
And I think that's enough of us blabbering. That's first, let me ask you something. Have you heard of Bookish?
No. What is Bookish?
Well, let me tell you. Bookish is the San Jose Museum of Art presents Bookish, an exhibition which looks at the influence of the book on visual artists. The museum is located at 110 South Market Street. That's 110. More information is available at sanjosemuseumofart.org.
All right.
And that is Bookish, Caleb. That is Bookish.
Very.
Now let's get to some tunes with...
music.
A band, quite fitting, actually. The Decemberists.
Hey, there you go.
With the track Burning Davy.
Burning Davy. That sounds unpleasant.
Yeah, for Davy.
For Davy. Yeah, for Davy. Everyone else is just kind of like, eh.
Yeah. Well, we are Robots Attack.
Please enjoy. Dun, 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 dun.
The news.
That's right, everyone. This is the news section. This is where we talk about the news. And since we're on kind of a music kick at this precise moment, I am going to lead off with a really cool article I found on a great blog called boingboing.net. It is about the quintessential punk band Fugazi. And they actually got themselves onto the front page of the, I believe it was the New York Times. Yes, the New York Times. That's right, New York Times and Fugazi, front page, together. They are promoting that the Fugazi, I guess, estate, for lack of a better word at the moment, has remastered a whole bunch of their audio archives and has them available for download, I believe, over at thearchive.org. Let me just confirm that. But it just sort of shows that there is there isn't any place. Punk doesn't really die. It just gets remastered. And it looks like there is. It's over at Discord. Records. They have 800 live shows that have been remastered and restored to live awesomeness. So, and as many of you may or may not know, punk is best experienced in a live version rather than in a studio. So that's just, I always thought that was just, that was kind of funny. It's when when old stuff becomes new, you know? So check that out.
Word up, Caleb. When old is new. And wow, my computer is running extremely slow.
Extremely slow.
Gotta love this. Why is... Ay, ay, ay. Figures on the fifth show that it would be...
Technical slow, difficulties.
Slow. Okay, well, my first story, thankfully it opened up mostly, is about 35mm film and the possibility that it will be dead in 2015.
I am surprised it even lasted that long.
Bum, bum, bum. This story out of MSN, celluloid 35mm film has been a key fixture in movies. Oh, now you go up. Stupid thing. key fixture in movie theater projection rooms for over 120 years. But according to one report, its reign will soon be over. Long story short, digital is in, analog is out, and James Cameron's Avatar is to blame.
And him and Canon and Fujifilm and all the others switching over to digital.
The folks at the IHS Screen Digest Cinema Intelligence Service report that the beginning of 2012, which is happening fairly soon, as we were talking about earlier, mm-hmm. will mark the crossover point when digital technology overtakes 35mm film. And after that, there's no good news for the old format based on the company's predictions. And this is their prediction. By the end of 2012, the share of 35mm will decline to 37% of global cinema screens, with digital accounting for the remaining 63%. This represents a dramatic decline for 35mm, which was used in 68% of global cinema screens in 2010.
Wow.
In 2015, 35mm will be used in just 17% of global movie screens, regulating it to a niche projection format.
Yeah. Actually, between James Cameron and the Star Wars prequels, they kind of put a heavy toll on the analog distribution of the film.
Yeah, it says on here, what's to blame for this shift? According to David Hancock, head of film and cinema research at IHS, the rise of 3D films got the ball rolling. But the big damage occurred in 2009 when a little movie called Avatar... Not The Last Airbender.
No, that one. The movie was bad. The show was good.
Yeah, that almost killed cinema as a
as an art form.
Art form entirely.
Different issue.
Yeah, Avatar hit the screens, and digital technology share of the movie market grew drastically.
Yeah, yeah, so. I could see that because like James Cameron wanted that and the best, looking as good as possible, and that means digital distribution and. Before him, Lucas was really trying to push a lot of people to digital distribution when you re-release the Star Wars movies also. So any moment now, it's going to become sort of the art house that has the weird movies that no one knew existed.
Yeah, it does say, but when it comes to the average moviegoer's perspective, there's no need to worry too much. In the United States, mainstream 35mm usage will likely end sometime around 2013. In Western Europe, the death of the format is predicted by the end of 2014. Then the rest will follow suit and bid 35mm goodbye by the end of 2015. So, if you've got some 35mm film, or which is real expensive, I mean,
at this point, yeah,
use it wisely.
Use it wisely, and or you know. Keep an eye out for them reasonably inexpensive prosumer cameras. They produce a very good image without a lot of cost these days. And I think that's one of the other things, like the amount of cost it goes into making a camera that produces a good image has come down so far that you don't need
yeah,
you know, 35 pounds of camera and film to make a good looking picture.
Exactly. What do we have next?
Next we have, it was part of a series of articles that were done by TechCrunch about Foxconn. Wait, do I have that right? Let's look at my list again.
Should be Foxconn.
Yep, Foxconn. Foxconn, if you don't know, they are one of the largest suppliers of manufacturing of electronic goods. If you have bought a laptop or mass market electronic good in the last three, four years, probably longer than that, I'm not positive about it though, you have probably purchased a product from Foxconn. If you have an Apple product, a laptop, you have a device that was produced in the Foxconn factory in China. This isn't just a factory. It is the factory plant is called Foxconn City. It has 26 major and minor factories around the world, but their largest one covers 3 square kilometers and has over 400,000 workers that live on campus. This is not a fly-by-night small operation. This place is insanely huge. And it's almost a microcosm of life in the world. And you may have heard of this place because there was recently some news flutter over a suicide that happened at the plant that was reportedly connected back to Apple's product releases. And there was some concern about that, and people were like really questioning how the working conditions are and stuff like that. And they have over 400,000 meals are over that per person. Yeah, there's two or three meals per day. 400,000 is produced every day for these people. It is a monumental task. It's a lot of food. It's a monumental task keeping this all together. And they have their own society, their own agendas and structure. It's
not a cult.
What?
It's not a cult.
No, it is not a cult. No, unless you can call technology a cult, and I guess you could argue that, but not in the way that it's usually stated as being a cult. But there's also this one. I found these articles stacked through Boing Boing. Also, so the links to all these stuff will be in our show notes at robotsattack.me. But yeah, the size of this place just makes all the problems that we would consider just a small company problem, like huge problem, because it affects essentially a small town, though it's just one company. The scale of China just sort of blows my mind.
I know. I agree. It's massive.
Huge.
I said massive.
And massive. Massively huge.
Hey, Caleb.
Yes.
Did you know that you can listen to KSCU on your smartphone?
On smartphone?
Yep. Just download a mobile Shoutcast app such as TuneWiki, Shoutcast Radio, or Winamp and search for our internet stream.
Woo!
That's good to know. Because a lot of people got those smartphones out there. I got one. You got one.
I sort of.
You have one. Just agree with me. Yes, I screwed that up. You're fired. Get out.
I have one. It's totally awesome.
Bring in Caleb too. Your clone. He would have agreed with that.
Yes, that is right, Joe. I have a smartphone. It's a splendid electronic device.
See, there he is. Caleb 2. All right. Can you believe Caleb 1? Man, that guy, he didn't do what I said.
He's over in the corner pouting now, this guy.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do with him.
Well, you talked about Fox.
Fox?
I got a story about Fox.
Fox?
Yep.
Foxconn?
No.
No?
Fox News. Fox says...
A little different.
Yeah, sort of. See, you're fired too. Bring in Caleb 3. Fox says Muppets are brainwashing kids. Now, you did your review of the Muppets movie last show, right?
Yes.
So you might be a little familiar with this. Maybe, yes. Maybe you'll agree. I'll read again. I got this one from MSN. It's the villain in the Muppets is Tex Richmond, an oil man who wants to tear down the Muppets Theater in order to drill for oil underneath. Man, when you told me that, I was laughing. It's so ridiculous, but it's just like it's out of Muppets.
It's,
you know?
Classic Muppets.
But just as a character in a storyline or a secret liberal Hollywood plot to brainwash children. The topic was debated on Fox's Follow the Money, with a network host and two commentators saying big oil isn't being treated fairly. Now, to be fair, I did not watch this show. I'm just reading straight from here. I've only seen clips from Fox News shows because I don't watch Fox News. I don't particularly care for it, but yeah. So
it's sort of an interesting social experiment to watch Fox News. Not that it's all bad, but some of it is just a little different.
Yeah. So, you know, take this story with a grain of salt. I saw the headline and thought, quite hilarious. Fox says Muppets are brainwashing kids. Okay, here's a quote. Liberal Hollywood depicting a successful businessman as evil? That's not new, said host Eric Bolling, before tossing the subject to guest Dan Gaynor of the Conservative Media Research Center. Now, I've mentioned this before several times. I mispronounce people's names to protect the innocent.
Yes, the innocent.
That is why. This is a Muppet movie, said Gaynor. The only thing green that should be up there on that screen is Kermit the Frog. I don't know if he said it like that. I just kind of felt like adding that, you know,
a little
gumption to it, you know.
A little emphasis.
Get him that, like, because a lot of the ones that I see in there, they're really passionate about, you know, beating up liberals and stuff, or, you know, like, they're like, we're going to get those liberals.
They're pretty excitable.
Yeah.
Excited, I should say. I can't say they're excitable, but they are passionate. That's a good word.
Yes. Gaynor said liberal Hollywood filmmakers have been brainwashing moviegoers for decades. The 4 decades is in quotes, too. Citing Cars 2, Syriana, and There Will Be Blood as other biased media. None of them remind people what oil means for most people, which is fuel to light a hospital or heat your home. I just kind of added that. Con home. Bring some fun to this.
Yes.
He suggested that there should be Occupy Wall Street Muppets, saying that Occupy protesters have been indoctrinated literally for years by TV shows such as 1980s cartoon Captain Planet. Oh, yes, Captain Planet had invaded my mind and took me over. Or Nickelodeon's Big Green Help, which focuses on recycling. Ooh, such an evil thing, recycling. It has brainwashed our children. That wasn't in the article. That was me just pretending to be whatever this guy. Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like a logical jump.
Yeah. Bowling said he grew up poor and his parents would point out wealthy individuals as aspirational ideals, not pointing the finger at Tex Richmond and saying he's a bad guy. Bowling then went on to ask fellow Fox hosts Andrea Tentaros about the issue, and she also criticized Sesame Street. Ooh, yeah, Sesame Street, it's so evil. She didn't say that. I threw that into where the Muppets got their start. A primetime Sesame Street special that aired October 9th featured a Muppet whose family didn't have enough food. We've got Medicaid. There's a record number of people out there on food stamps. There's all these kinds of programs out there to take care of hungry kids, Tentaro said. Why would that Muppet be starving? Oh, man, but I couldn't even say that with a straight face. Oh, the last little bit to wrap it up. Yes. Bowling went on to suggest that perhaps the evil Muppet should be the Obama administration. Of course, I was waiting for the Obama administration plug to get thrown in here.
Mm-hmm.
Giving the opposing view, Occidental College politics professor Caroline Heldman said that remark was pretty Orwellian.
Yeah.
So there you have it. The Muppets are brainwashing your kids. So if you have kids out there, if you are a kid, you might not want to watch you know, the Muppets, because you might be being brainwashed. Or don't watch Captain Planet or that Nickelodeon show.
The Big Green Help. Yeah. This is right up there with the accusing Mr. Rogers of making kids feel it being the entitlement problem that we that we're having in our society these days.
Well, hello there, Caleb. Won't you be my neighbor? I know that's a horrible Mr. Rogers impression. But...
yeah, I just don't quite understand the I can almost see where they're coming from, and then it takes that hard left turn, and then they make a hard left turn into into areas that you just don't expect and don't really they don't really need to be.
Oh well, what can you do?
Yeah. So we take this moment to pause and talk about Project Sentinel. Having a dispute with your landlord or tenant, Project Sentinel offers information, mediation, and dispute resolution services. More information is available by calling 408-720-9888. Project Sentinel, they're on your side.
Awesome.
I threw that last part on.
But hey, they're on your side. I mean, yeah, I would assume they were. I mean,
they're your advocate.
Yeah, they wanna help you against the discrimination stuff. So yeah.
Alrighty. So on the list, you know, Muppets are brainwashing our children, and our cell phone.
If you can see the lights, George, I like the lights.
Yes, and our cell phones are spying on us.
What?
Yes. And it has been apparently been going on for quite some time. It recently some security researcher was looking into a curious process on his phone, trying to, you know, troubleshoot it like they do and make sure that it would be suitable for their business. And they noticed that there is a unique there was a strange carrier bit of data that was being transmitted all the time. He was trying to figure out what it was. And as he looked into it, he found out about a thing called Carrier IQ. And Carrier IQ is a metric system. Not the metric system, but a metric system.
A metric system, okay.
Yeah, it's a system for keeping track of...
metric things?
Sometimes, yeah. In control... Muppet movie reference. Go see it.
I know someone out there laughed at that. Like milk spewed out of their nose and just, yeah.
One can only hope. But Carrier IQ is a diagnostic tool used by pretty much all the carriers to keep to track what is going on with a phone in its daily operation. Now, where it gets a little bit...
kooky?
Kooky.
Okay.
Yeah, where it gets a little dicey, a little strange is the number of things that this software can track. Because this piece of software can track pretty much everything that your phone does. Your text messages, your emails, excuse me, your calls, the numbers you're dialing, who you're talking. Yeah, it could potentially take your entire cell phone life and make it available to the carrier if they so choose to do that, to look into it. Now, almost all the carriers have responded to this allegation, some sensibly, like Sprint. I have to applaud them. They've been pretty upfront with what they're trying to do about it. Verizon is currently in the denial phase of their media presence on this matter. But
what are you talking about? Where?
And every manufacturer has some form of this on their phone. Now, a lot of people have freaked out because this could potentially be a massive privacy invasion because this software could read literally everything you do. A specific researcher, where is his name? Dan Rosenberg, looked into his phone, which was a Samsung Epic 4G. And it looks like if it's a 4G, it was probably on Verizon or possibly Sprint. But, he looked at what he was able to actually draw out of, like what information was being transmitted that he actually broke apart the packages of data and was looking at them. And he was able to, and he saw that a page render, which was, you know, when you download your web page, that was noted. Location events, which are GPS and non-GPS location, they are, those were noted. HTTP events. He went through, and there were things that he found it can do and it cannot do. One of the things it cannot do is read the body of your text messages or your web pages on his phone. Now, he did go on to say that all of his findings are specific to his phone. Different manufacturers, different carriers may have different sets of things, but for the Samsung Epic 4G, it couldn't read texts, like the actual body of the text, nor could it read web pages or emails. It could not read the keystrokes that occurred other than the ones that were used on the dial pad.
Oh, okay.
It can record your dial pad calls. But he said he's not a lawyer, but he's pretty sure that they've been tracking that information for a long time before this. It can report your GPS location in some situations, but I think that there is some user control over that, but he didn't say here. And finally, it can record the URLs that are being visited, including HTTPS websites, but it cannot read the actual content of those pages. You can just see they went here. So
okay.
These are things that if you were trying to troubleshoot a network, you would want to know. So yes, it's a potentially scary thing because the software captures everything and then it lets the carriers decide what they want and don't want. So it's dicey, but it may not be quite as bad as it looks. So please don't panic.
Run in the streets.
No, panic is bad.
Buy all the rice from... Costco and Sam's Club.
Just relax a little bit longer. They're looking into it.
And the water.
Very, very smart people are looking into this.
Duct tape with a T.
And they will have information that you can use in your life very soon.
Prepare people. It's the end of the world. That robber guy kept Kipling or whatever. He was just off a few days. He was only off a few months. He was right.
No. Yeah.
I got a question for you.
What?
Now, just think for a minute. You can go back in the time machine of your old childhood days, all right?
Okay.
Do you remember being 9?
Yes.
Okay. Do you remember, as a 9-year-old, ever going up to one of your teachers and going, "You're cute"?
I cannot recall that particular instance, but I do recall the urge to do so.
Okay, well... it's probably a good thing you're not 9 years old now.
Okay.
And that you didn't do it, because if you did, apparently, according to this report from MSNBC.com, a 9-year-old boy was suspended for reportedly calling teacher cute.
Uh-huh.
Yes. A 9-year-old boy was suspended from school for 2 days for sexual harassment last week after
Wait, what?
Yep, that's what it says. After he called his teacher cute, his mother says. Chiquita Lockett of Gastoria, North Carolina. Yeah, North Carolina, I think. Yeah. Told WSOC-TV of Charlotte, North Carolina, which first reported the story, that her 9-year-old son, Emania, shouldn't have been sent home from Brookside Elementary School. This is her quote. And don't worry, I won't do that voice because... I got yelled at by you, and I don't like it when you yell at me, so. It's not like he went up. I'm not going to do it. It's not like he went up to the woman and tried to grab her or touch her in a sexual way, Lockett told WSOC. So why would he be suspended for 2 days?
Yeah.
The Gaston County School District said it couldn't discuss the incident beyond confirming that Emania was suspended for inappropriate behavior after making... inappropriate statements.
Really?
People. I think, I don't know. Have we just become too uptight as a society? I mean, it just, like...
I... I'm like running out of words to like describe the amazement with which I feel about this story. I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone, and that this is some bizarro world that I am in.
I know,
but it's not.
I feel bad for parents that have like little kids right now. I mean, yeah. It's just you're just walking on like pins and needles here. I mean, you can't. Hit him, you can't touch, you know, like, you can't shout, you can't do, it's
and the
just
kids
like,
can't do anything either.
Yeah,
there's no
places for them to go and play, everything's all, it's just, it's
and you
crazy.
Wonder why we stay home and play video games all day long. It's like,
It's scary. I feel bad for
these nanny attitudes and these hovering parents, they just need to stop.
Yeah,
I understand you don't want to hurt anyone to get hurt, but you know what? When there is pain, but not damage, pain, you learn from that. When you touch a hot stove,
yeah.
Your hand retracts naturally with reflex, and you go, "That really hurt.
I shouldn't do that."
Yeah, you don't do it again. It's like they're trying to save us from ourselves, and they're not letting us learn anything about living.
We could have a whole show on this topic, just of all the things going on. And
a 9-year-old, for crying out loud. He's nine.
He just said she was cute. I mean, that doesn't...
It's not like he walked up and, like, you know...
Grabbed her butt or something.
Yeah. And even if he had done that, it's like suspension for 2 days. Maybe a parent-teacher conference. Get everyone together and say, what's going on? Because... clearly something would be, you know, some discussion needs to happen here, but no one wants to have that discussion. No one wants to hear that discussion.
Yeah, you sit down, little Timmy, and you go, little Timmy, now I heard that you grabbed the teacher's butt. Now, if you're going to do that, do it. Here's how you do it without getting caught. No, I'm kidding. No,
it's like explain boundaries. Explain.
It's madness.
It's a madhouse. That comes later.
Yeah. Or it's happening now. We just don't know it.
Yeah.
What's up next?
Let's see.
What you got? What you got for the audience?
Next, since we're on the subject of sort of politification of events,
mm-hmm.
You mentioned Occupy and the Fox story.
They mentioned it.
They mentioned it.
One of their quotes that we're talking about.
Occupy Wall Street has been mentioned and. I'm sure if you've been on the internet at all, you've probably have seen the,
what is this internet you speak of, Caleb?
Shush. the pepper spray guy. And many people have, been very upset actually upset about the way this situation was handled and what pepper spray is and why it was used.
But pepper spray is just a derivative of pepper. It's just a food product. That's not that bad, right?
Yeah, no. It is not derived from it is not derived from the peppercorn. It is derived from capsaicin, which is nasty, nasty stuff. If you've ever ever bitten capsaicin is that chemical that makes actual spicy peppers spicy, and if you can extract and generate like man-made version of this stuff that's more potent than the natural occurring
science.
Stuff with science, and it's very unpleasant, and that is what is used in pepper spray. And interestingly enough, you'll notice I cite Boing Boing a lot. They're really cool. I like them.
Hey, it's all good. I grab a lot of my stories from MSNBC, so
So the UC Davis, a music professor, this guy did some research into, this is the wrong story. Guy did some research on how pepper spray, like the regulation of it, how it's supposed to be used.
Okay.
In situations. And one of the things he found out that, was that in his research was that in the when you talk to a doctor who works for the Department of Corrections, and that's the prison system for those who are
not as up on their acronyms. The CDC, they are, since they understand that there are people that have very strong allergic reactions to chili peppers and the capsaicin in it, that they are not allowed to just wantonly use pepper spray in prisons situations.
Okay.
If an inmate shows an immediate threat of violence, that's when they're like allowed to actually like step in and do something. If you know, like the person has to be like, you know, ready to physically harm you before you can like actually like break that step. If
a little shanking or
yeah, if the prisoner is seated or you know, in a non-threatening, non-hostile position, you cannot pepper spray them. You can. I'm sure there's other forms of motivation you can use on the prisoner, but if the prisoner is not non-threatening, mm-hmm. you are not allowed to pepper spray them. And he cited this because the famous picture of that campus police officer who is, you know,
just spraying like it's like just pepper derivative from Pepper the food product. Gotta paint the kids with the pepper spray. Oh, getting low. Better shake it up. It's like sickening. Oh man.
It's hard to watch. And I, that guy's now internet famous for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
But you know, it is the article has also links to his very very exhaustive and very informative piece about the use of pepper spray, how it's been directed to be used in other situations of violence and non-violence and threat and non-threat, and the examples of how it has been used and on the Occupy Wall Street and the people who are showing solidarity with the Occupy people, and you know, just people. We're not asking you to necessarily like change the world, but just be aware of these things and don't take them lying down. That's all.
Yeah.
And if you want, we will have links to all of these stories on our website in case you want to read further into this.
So you can check them out. I think, you know what? It's, I mean, we love that you're listening to Robots Attack on KSCU Santa Clara.
103.3, the underground sound.
So I think, you know what? Let's wrap this news thing up with why don't you do the robot story?
Yes. No, we can't have a show called Robots Attack without
a robot story. I mean.
Yeah, seriously. So we all know robots are pretty interesting and they're pretty smart and they're getting smarter. Well, what
my CPU is a neural net processor, a learning computer.
Yes, it is. There we go. There we go. So, my link didn't quite capture all the data.
I was supposed to. Sent from the future back to the present, which is now the past, to protect you.
Sit down before you hurt yourself. But seriously,
why?
Don't you start. Over in France, they have made a sculpture or a structure we'll call it a structure out of.
Wait, you're telling me in France they're making some art?
Yes.
I never would have thought France or, you know, to be making art.
Yeah.
That blows my mind.
Yeah. You know. I know it's hard to believe that there's that much culture in France, but really there no French France, we love you. We know that you have tons of culture. Now, moving on to the story about the robots.
they give us a Statue of Liberty, so.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty awesome. That's a nice piece of art. A group of scientists and roboticists have made they set up a program and then they set forth these four quadcopter drones to build a structure that they predefined, and they had a big pile of foam bricks, and then these little four rotor choppers would go over, grab a brick, put it down in a specified location, go back, get another brick. But they had to go find the brick. So it's like, you know, partly a test of an AI, partly a test of them coordinating, not running into each other, and also putting together a brick wall. And it's pretty freaking amazing. There's a video of it here in the article.
And video doesn't translate well over radio.
It doesn't, but there will be links on our website, and you can go watch this for yourself and watch these amazing little robots do their thing. Yes, folks, robots are here to help us build stuff, or at least that's what they're telling us for now. Until they turn and they mount machine guns on their bodies and they turn and go Judgment Day. Okay. You know a lot more of the theme song than I can remember of it.
That's about all. I think I saw Terminator 2 not that long ago. So.
Ah, okay. It's been a little while.
Vaguely still in my head.
Yeah. Uh-huh. There you go.
All right. Well, that was our news segment. Hope you enjoyed. Again, remember, you can participate in the show by tweeting us at what are all the ways they can hit us again, Caleb?
On Twitter, our account is RobotsAttackMe. On Facebook, you do a search for Robots Attack. And if you find us, like us. It's awesome. For great good.
Yeah.
And you can email us. robotsattackshow@gmail.com, and you can find our website at robotsattack.me.
All right, well, we're gonna take a little music break now, and then we're gonna come back with a new little segment that we haven't done on here. Hopefully you like it. It's I'm gonna read you some interesting lists that I found. Hopefully
you'll
enjoy. But yeah, let's get to the music before the people go crazy from all the talk.
All the yamma yamma.
Yeah. Play the music. You said you'd play music. We've been waiting for an hour for the music. Well, here's the music from an artist called To Destroy a City. With the song
Destroy a City.
Before the Outside's Gone.
Is that like Shaka When the Walls Fell?
Chaka When the Walls Fell. Maybe. We'll see.
Darmak Angelad at Tanagra.
Yeah. Whoa. See, you remembered that stuff. I remember the Terminator song. Hey, we warned you. We were geeks. We were nerds. Anyway, here's the music. All right, welcome back to Robots Attack on KSCU Santa Clara. All right, this little segment is new. It's
brand new.
I don't have a little bumper for it yet, but I'll come up with one at some point soon. I'll just see how it goes. Maybe
work in progress.
Yeah, maybe everyone will absolutely hate this segment, and I won't need to make a bumper for it. Anyway, this is my little list. I've scoured, combed, searched the internet for lists that might be fun to read for people and for Caleb and get his response to it and see, because it's always fun to kind of see him squirm. If I can make him squirm, you know, it's kind of funny. But he likes it. Remember, people, I said I tease him and he likes it. All right, so this first list is 9 status symbols that say I'm rich.
You're part of the 1%?
You're part of the 1%. I'm part of the 1%. I'm rich and you're not. Because I have these 9 status symbols that say I'm rich.
They are from
MSN Money.
Uh-huh.
The first is, you know, spending on the good life. Take a walk down Fifth Avenue, Michigan Avenue, or Rodeo Drive, and you might think Louis Vuitton had finally had a sale. Block by block, the signature brown bags fill the streets. Never mind that the bags in the spring 2011 collection start at $2,930. For a small clutch, and up to a whopping $35,000 for a bag. I'm sorry, that's insane.
That is a little bit insane. You said 3,000. How much for a clutch?
$2,930.
Now, I have recently become indoctrinated into the ways of the lady's handbag, and I know what a clutch is. Clutch is really, really, really small. You cannot carry much in a clutch. It's like 6-7 inches long, 2 to 3 inches tall, and it's a zipper on top. There's not a lot of space in there for more than a stick of chewing gum and a thing of lipstick.
Hey, but apparently that's worth about $3,000. The next thing is a swanky stroller. Think a stroller is just a way to transport your kids? Think again, poor people. The mommy wars are being played out on the playground with parents sizing up each other's wheels. High-end strollers like these by the Bugaboo brand are flying off the shelves and run anywhere from $500 to $2,000. Woo! Wow.
That seems
like a lot. Wow. I mean, I don't know how much strollers go for generally, but I'm assuming that's a lot of money. That seems like a lot.
That particular brand is
Bugaboo.
My sister-in-law is about to have another kid, and yeah,
she wants a Bugaboo.
No, so they looked at the price tag, and there was a hefty no that was that followed that.
Well, she would like one, but she's
they. It's like she like there was they were nice, but she's actually more into the Bob strollers herself.
Oh, okay.
Which is another high end brand. I only know kind of about them by proxy.
Man, so far you know the first thing and the second thing.
The ladies in my life have been educating me.
Well, there you go. At least you're getting something out of it, right? All right, next we've got specialty bikes. Biking became more popular in the past year, with bike sales rising 15% between 2009 and 2010, according to the Bicycle Manufacturing Association. But the bikes that are gaining the most popularity? Pricey custom-built ones.
Wow.
Specialty bike retailers command only 14% of the market, but 44% of the dollars.
So you say specialty, not specialized, the brand.
No, specialty.
Wow. So the people paying a lot of money for their little fixies, huh?
Yeah, we got, for example, custom bicycle company KGS Bikes does an elaborate 3-hour fitting session and has sold bikes for as much as $32,000. So could buy a car or you could buy this bike.
I was about to say, that's the price of a decent vehicle.
The owner says, I've seen growing demand.
Wow, there are people with way too much money.
Yep. Next, we have designer fashion. Last year, Carolina Herrera reported that, to her pleasant surprise, her gray sequined ball gowns were selling like hotcakes for $7,990. Other top designers have also reported sell earnings, including Louis Vuitton, up to 23% from 2010 to $24.3 billion. Chanel,
wow,
up 23% to $6.8 billion. There's another brand, but you get the picture. Next, we have fine wines. Forget Two-Buck Chuck. What's wrong with Two-Buck Chuck? I don't really drink wine, but if you say it's fine?
Yeah.
All right, there you go. Nielsen is reporting a 4.1% rise in total U.S. wine sales to $9.32 billion this year. But wine priced over $20 saw an even larger increase in sales, 11%. So people are willing to spend money on their alcohol, even if they're...
Apparently.
Uh-oh. I don't know if this one's good. The fur effect.
Fear effect?
Fur. The fur effect. Fur is in, according to America's top fashion magazines.
Oh, snap. Don't tell PETA.
PETA? PETA?
PETA.
Pick the peckle picker PETA PETAs?
Something.
Many September issues, including longtime fashion Bible Vogue, featured fur and fox fur. Is that how it's pronounced? Faux fur. Is it faux?
Faux fur, yeah.
It's faux fur, yeah. So I can get some words right. I can use my words, George, as the next big thing for warmth against the coming cold. And yeah, tell that to the fox and, and the other guys. Sorry, little guy, it's cold out here, and I really want your fur. According to them, fur goes with and on anything from apparel like vests and coats to accessories like purses and even shoes. Oh, brother.
Yeah.
Speaking of fur, the next thing is furry friends. American pets are living the good life. Sometimes even better than their owners. In 2010, Americans spent a record $55 billion on their pets.
Wow.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Unsurprising, but it's just one of the... You just want to like... It's facepalm. You're just like, what? Seriously, people?
Yeah. This next one should come as no surprise either. Fast cars. I live my life a quarter mile at a time. That was This is an extremely horrible Vin Diesel impersonation. Despite the doom...
I thought I was quite special myself.
Well, thank you, Caleb. I didn't pay him to say that. Not much, anyway. Despite the doom and gloom in Detroit, the luxury car sector is revving its engines. In July, Mercedes-Benz reported its highest monthly sales growth, 16% since 2006, with 21,000 cars sold. Still, BMW outsold its competitor that same month by more than 5,000 vehicles. See, 11.7% increase from sales the prior year. BMW's SAV, a midsize SUV, well, I'll say that 10 times fast, $37,000 led the pack, with sales up 56% in 2011. And the high-end Z4 Roadster was BMW's third highest-selling vehicle, up to 92.4% in July from the previous month.
Wow.
Yeah, it's starting to show that, like, the people that have all the money...
are completely unaffected by this economic downturn.
Yeah, they're definitely spending that money on these crazy things.
Yeah.
And then we've got cruising through life. An estimated 73.7 million Americans will travel outside the United States in 2011. Estimates Business Monitor International in September's United States Tourism Report. And while air travel sales remain on a perpetual roller coaster, cruises have grown more popular for wealthier Americans this year. Business Monitor International reports that 9.6 million people will have traveled outside of the United States by cruise in 2011.
That's impressive. Although, to be fair, if I was going to travel someplace else, like, and I didn't really, and flying wasn't really my first choice, cruising is a darn good way to travel.
I have been
on a cruise. It was years ago.
Many moons ago,
when I was but a wee lad. But they're a lot of fun. When your hotel goes with you, it's hard to go too wrong.
Yeah, get this: a 12-night stay in the Mediterranean on luxury cruise liner Celebrity Solstice costs $9,299 per person.
Which sounds like a lot, and it is a lot, but it's. If you were to price it all out, it's actually not so bad. which is I feel funny saying that because it's
you
like
you snob, you rich 1%er, Caleb, riding your Ferrari into the KSU parking lot.
Pardon me, my nose is too high in the air to answer your questions.
No.
No, like cruising can be a good value if you do it right. There are ways of cruising cheap.
Oh, okay. Well, and the last thing, the bling.
Oh, man.
Rolex, recovering from a 14% decline in brand value last year, is making a comeback. Sales are up 11% to $5.3 billion this year, making it the sixth most powerful luxury brand, according to consulting firm Millward Brown. Yeah, Millward Brown.
Good on your Rolex. Coming back.
Wow. They got up to costing up to $35,000, depending on its... materials and dealer.
For a watch?
Yep.
Oh, man.
Yep, those are the 9 status symbols that say you're rich. So, you know, if you got any of those, you're rich, baby.
Yeah, apparently. And, you know, if you want to put it all in perspective, get a little focus on this, you might want to check out Cuba in Focus.
Ooh.
Or Cuba in Focus, if you prefer.
Cuba.
The exhibition is going to be going through the end of this week, so you want to hurry over to Foothill College.
That's not a lot of time. Better get there, folks.
And it's the presents Cuba in Focus, an exhibition by American and Cuban photographers. The photographs are an attempt to explore and capture the creative spirit of Cuban culture. The exhibition is at the Krause Center for Innovation at Foothill College. For more information is available at cubainfocus.wordpress.com. And you want to capitalize each of the individual words.
And now, it's time for Caleb's Corner.
That's right. This is my little section of the show. Joe has his, I have mine, and it works out well. Woo. And if you've been listening at all to anything that I've been saying in this corner for the past few shows, you know that I am hot and bothered by SOPA, the Stop Online Piracy Act.
And you know what? I don't mean to interrupt.
No, go for it.
I haven't heard, like, I've only heard a couple things, like, on Twitter about this. I haven't heard this anywhere else. I mean, I haven't, like, been watching the 24-hour news channels constantly, but I mean, you're the first one that's brought this to me. I mean, we're breaking news here with this story. I mean, no, have you seen this on much, like, major news stations or anything? Like,
my news sources are mostly tech. I have a lot of tech news sources, so it's all a buzz in the community that I've been watching. But yeah, like, I didn't see a lot of,
like,
other
more popular sort of mainstream stuff. I mean, have you heard anything about it? I mean, man, we are breaking the news. Robots Attack, we try to bring you. We bring you some crazy stuff, but we also try to bring you some good stuff like this. I mean, this is insane.
Yeah, if you want to know more about it,
go back and listen to the other shows, last couple, go into detail.
Lots of good stuff here. And if you want a fast breakdown, you want it bite size. Stephen Colbert, accomplished geek, has this wrapped it pretty well, and he explains it pretty well on his show on the 2nd of December. We'll have links to the clips and the show notes. He breaks it down real quick, real simple, has two highly accomplished other people to talk about why it is and is not a good idea. And honestly, the guy who thinks it wasn't a good idea was much better spoken, my personal opinion. So yeah, go check that out. Get informed, get involved. SOPA affects you directly, whether you realize it or not. And stepping off of that particular hot button topic for the time being, I need to mention that you've seen the photographs on the front of the magazines on the trash aisle. I mean the impulse aisle of your local supermarket, and you see these people and. Some of these Photoshop jobs, yes, Photoshop is used constantly in these things.
No, it's not. It's yes. All real, man. You don't touch it at all. That's the real world, the really real world, man.
There's no coming back. It's the really real world. No. Photoshop is, and its use, and some might even say abuse, is rampant in fashion photography, especially. And recently, a professor of computer science at Dartmouth College, Mr. Hani Farid. I apologize, Mr. Farid, if I mispronounced your name. He and one of his graduate students have come together to try and create, for lack of a better word, an algorithm, an automated mathematical way of analyzing imagery. And evaluating how real or fake it is, sort of like kind of judging the amount of Photoshop that was used. Because, I mean, there's nothing inherently wrong with using Photoshop as a tool to, you know, take out a couple stray hairs or you know, clean up some dust that was on the lens or whatever, or you know, even to touch up a makeup job that didn't quite work out with the lighting or what have you. You know, there's many reasons why you might want to, quote-unquote, resurrect an image. But how far does one go to how far do you push this effect? Because you can take an image and completely remake it so that the person that exists in this picture is only very loosely related to reality. And the New York Times, they have article that this I got this from. They have a selection of pictures at the top of the article, which kind of show before and after pictures, like where it was used lightly and where it was used heavily. And it's, if you see these pictures individually, you wouldn't think much of them per se, but when you kind of like stack them all together and see just how much you can distort reality, it becomes really important to know what you're seeing and understand that it's not always truth. It's just truthy.
Ooh.
It has truthiness. And
the more you know.
Yeah. And a lot of feminist activist groups and other people that are concerned with the effect of these images on people's understanding of body type and self-evaluation and, you know, just feeling good about themselves, have decried the overuse of this Photoshop stuff to completely undo what would normally be a very powerful and realistic image. So the point of the study is to try and help people sort of evaluate how far they've pushed this image, one being, they pumped the contrast a little bit. They added a little bit more highlight, put in a little more shadow. To, wow, they chopped her leg off, stuck it over here. They've shaved about 20 pounds off of them. Things like that. Your range of extremes, so you can kind of get a better sense for how far reality has been distorted. And if it's an art, distorting reality for artistic purposes has been going on for generations. Picasso being one of the more famous examples of this. So it's nothing inherently wrong with it. Just we need to be smart consumers going out there and seeing the world, trying to see the world and understand the world and process the world in a more realistic fashion. So yeah, check out the article, check out the pictures, and just get a better understanding of how much Photoshop can change your perspective on things.
Sounds good. And Caleb.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Got a business? Need to get the word out? Underwrite at KSCU.
Woo!
Email traffic@kscu.org for the details. All right, that's going to wrap up Caleb's Corner.
Yes, it is, and we're very thankful to our underwriters to help keep this station running.
Exactly.
We thank you.
Couldn't do it without you. And now
we move into our favorite section. We dive into
the core.
Going in.
Whoever goes into the core is not coming back.
Core, the core,
the core, the core.
Movies.
Sequels suck.
By definition alone, they're inferior films.
Full generalization, many sequels have surpassed their original.
Comics.
As you know, I'm quite keen on comic books. Especially the ones about superheroes.
Video games.
What is that?
Power Glove. I love the Power Glove. It's so bad.
Music.
Top 5 musical crimes perpetrated by Stevie Wonder in the 80s and 90s go.
Tech stuff.
This is the isopalladial interface which controls the main pyramidal drive unit. Don't touch that. Blow up the entire pyramidal drive.
What is a pyramidal drive?
Nerd!
Get those nerds!
Yeah, get those nerds. Wait, that's us. No,
run,
don't get
run,
us.
Run, no.
Run, run, Caleb, run.
Unless you're going to get us an ice cream, in which case that's cool.
Yeah, we like that. Or some pizza.
Pizza, yeah.
Nachos, burrito.
Burritos.
Tacos. Wait, we're talking about food here. This segment isn't about food.
not really.
But we do like food. Food is good. We could talk about food. I mean, there's no.
Yeah,
it's not like we couldn't talk about it in here. It's just we have other things that we want to talk about, and
Because food is good and stuff.
Food is good and stuff, yes. All right, we always like to start off this segment, The Core, with the Top 10 Box Office. Can you guess what number one is, Caleb? I will give you a hint. Sparkle, sparkle.
Oh, man, are the sparkly ones still at the top of
that's
the
pile? That's right. Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part 1 is number one still with $16.5
million.
Followed by The Muppets. Hey, we just talked about that earlier and last week with $11 million. Number three, Hugo with $7.5 million. Number four, Arthur Christmas with $7.4 million. Ooh, those were close.
That's good.
Just by a point one. Number five, we have Happy Feet 2 with $5.9 million. Number six, Jack and Jill with $5.3 million. Number seven, The Descendants with $4.7 million. Number eight, Immortals with $4.4 million. Number nine, Tower Heist with $3.9 million. Number ten, Puss in Boots with $3 million. So a lot of the same movies.
A lot of the
really
same.
Whole lot out yet. I know in the next few weeks there's going to be some new stuff. Mm-hmm. I always start rolling out the new stuff in December, but
yeah,
there's your top 10 box office.
And that's not so bad, although it's I find it a little bit distressing. That
you wish that Breaking Dawn Part 1 made more, right?
Yeah. Well, if making more gets them to finishing the series faster, then yes, I do wish them to make more.
There you go. I like that positive spin on that.
There we go. So next, we move on to the DVD releases. That's right. Tonight and tomorrow's not Friday. My brain isn't Friday. Tomorrow is Wednesday. And
I
Wednesday,
wish it was Friday.
Yeah. Tuesday and Wednesday are big release days for DVDs and for CDs. And in case you missed them in the theaters, Cowboys and Aliens are wrangling themselves into the DVD and Blu-ray.
Yeehaw.
Mm-hmm. Followed by, and there's, it's just kind of a, this is just a smattering of some of the releases. There's a whole lot more. And these are just the ones I thought were going to be, might be interesting.
Worth of note for the people.
Worth of note, yes. The Help, The Hangover Part 2, Simpsons Season 14.
Whoa.
Mission Impossible, the Mission Impossible trilogy set.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because the new one's coming out this month.
Yep, and they're hoping to promote that one a bit more. And then there's The Debt. And then Torah, the classic World War II film, is coming out in Blu-ray.
Ooh, there you go.
Yeah. The Talking Heads chronology.
There you go.
And just to kind of round out, not all hoity-toity grown-up stuff, Ben 10, Ultimate Alien Wild Truth.
Ooh.
And the Looney Tunes Show, Volume 2.
All right, there you go. Well, I've got the next list, and that next list is video games. Not a whole lot came out this recent week. The biggest thing, Mario Kart 7 for the 3DS.
Let's-a go.
From what I hear, this one is, I think it's done pretty well.
Yeah.
A lot of people like it, and especially since there's not a whole lot on the 3DS, people are probably getting this one and I think the other Mario one that came out, the 3D Land or something like that.
Yeah, 3D Land. Yeah, the Mario Kart games tend to do well.
Yeah. So, yeah, we had Mario Kart 7, Barbarian, the Ultimate Warrior IP for the Mac, The Adventures of Tintin. We've got Crimecraft Gang Wars. Okay. Okay. I was like, Final Fantasy VI. Why is that on this list? It's available for download on the PlayStation Network. There you go.
Uh-huh.
Trine 2 for the Mac. Oregon Trail 3DS. Oregon Trail, the classic game is back. Now you too can get dysentery in 3D.
Whoa, dysentery is even better in 3D.
Yeah. The for PS3 owners, the first expansion pack for Battlefield 3 came out this week. I believe it's next week for Xbox.
Oh, there you go.
And the PC. Jaws Ultimate Predator, Just Dance 3.
Jaws.
Nano Assault. And it looks like there's a Forza Motorsport 4 December IGN pack.
Ooh, Forza. Forza's good stuff. It's pretty, at least.
Yeah. Yeah, that one's been getting crazy good reviews. So
yeah, I played the demo of it. It's pretty good.
Yeah, that one usually does well for all you racing fans out there. But yeah, not a huge week since most of the big games have already come out. So
yeah, and the next year is going to be big for the for our stuff also. So look for cool stuff to happen soon there. Well, from video games to comics. You can find all of the complete list at previewsworld.com. I picked out a few. I found a few. I should have said. I don't actually read all these myself. I can't afford that.
Yeah.
The fine folks at iFanboy have given me a couple, and then I've just kind of gone through ones that I think look like they'd be pretty good. We'll start with Near Death, which is a crime noir comic.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was pick of the week this week. It's there in number 3. So it's still early in the series. If you want to go back, if you like this one, Orchid number 4 is recommended from the previews staff, and it's about a dystopian future, and it's kind of cool that way. And then there is OMAC, which is one of the DC New 52, and the OMAC is one man army corporation, and it's been getting really good reviews also. Then there's Chew number 22. Chew is a wonderfully strange independent comic, well worth your time and effort. And then there's Deadpool number 47, because who doesn't love a wisecracking assassin?
Not me.
Oh, sure.
I like to do all my wisecracking. I don't want anybody else doing it. I kid.
So that rounds out the comic choices. There are tons more that are coming out this week because new comics come out tomorrow. Check them out for yourselves.
All right. And finally, I have music, and there is a ton of music on this list, but I've only heard of a select few of it. I found my list on the new music tip sheet.
Hey, hey.
Yeah. So I'll read you a few here that I notice that pop into my mind. I mean, I should have actually gone through this gigantic list and picked some, but, you know, that would require me to do work. Anyway, there apparently is a Arctic Monkeys single that's popped out called Suck It and See.
Huh?
We've got the Bee Gees put out a CD.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. It's called Main Course. It's probably, you know, like a collection of stuff or something. Yeah. Let's see, that's a DVD. We've got the Mariah Carey, The Profile. I know that's one of your favorites.
Oh yeah.
Chevelle, Hats Off to the Bull. We've got Stanley Clark with Time Exposure, Find Out, Hideaway. I don't know who that is.
That's a long title.
Yeah. Dead Milkman. The King in Yellow, that's the name of that album.
Sounds like a punk band.
Could be. Oh yeah, alternative punk.
There you go.
There you go. You're excellent with that. Now, can you guess who this might be? Neil Diamond, the very best of Neil Diamond. Could you guess who?
I know this one. It's I think it sounds like Neil Diamond.
There you go. All right.
Folk music, I presume.
Probably. We've got a metal band called Evergrey with A Decade and a Half. Looks like it's a best of. Because, you know, I threw out a punk, you know, the Neil Diamond, and I should hit a metal one, at least according to the thing on here. Looks like Korn. It's got a CD, Path of Totality. Lenny Kravitz, The Lowdown.
So there's a lot of good music coming out.
Yeah, there's quite a bit. Just go check out that list. You know, Meat Puppets. They're just, yeah, it could go on and on and on and on. And the you know, re-release of this and the soundtrack, the very Harold and Kumar 3D, you know, all that stuff. So
there you go. There's lots to listen to. Check it out.
Yeah. I think, I should probably mention this one. The Black Keys put out their new CD. That one I've been hearing on there. Hopefully they don't overplay it like they did the other songs.
Yeah, well, there's a little hope for that, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Let's see. Actually, both of these are have long.
Well, and while you do that, I'll read off a few more because I left out a rap artist. T-Pain got Revolver. Don't want to leave anybody out. Looks like he's found one. All right, all there right. We go.
They found one with a proper kill date. All right, the Friends of Santa Clara Library Foundation and Friends. Let's try that one more time. The Santa Clara The Santa Clara City Library Foundation and friends want to remind you that the Santa Clara City Library is available with study spaces, books, media materials, and Wi-Fi. You can help support the Santa Clara City Library by donating your textbooks or purchasing used books. The bookstore is in the lobby of Central Park Library, located at 2635 Homestead Road at San Jose.
All right, awesome. So,
hit us
with some geek, Caleb. Hit us with some geek.
Alrighty, you like games, right? You're something of a gamer.
Video games are stupid.
Yeah, I thought you might say that. So, I'm pretty sure you have at least two or three EA titles in your collection.
Never heard of them.
That's what I thought. And, there's been a recent trend in video game manufacturers and groups that release games to make them downloadable. Just skip the whole buying a disc, or maybe the game is so old that getting a disc for it is completely impractical. So EA is one of these mini companies that has said, you know, let's make life better for our customers. Let's, you know, Steam is, I think, one of the better services that does this, but EA has their own. But some people have been having
Origin.
Yes, that's it. Thank you, Origin. I knew my brain was just dumping the name. So the Origin service is good because, you know, you get your EA games on your system, on your computer, and then you don't have to worry about that. Unless you decide that you're not entirely
bum bum bum.
Yes, dun dun dun. If you feel like you need to express an opinion that may not be flattering of EA or EA's practices, titles, or any just them as a personality.
Oh, EA, those jeans make you look fat.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, people have been noticing that after posting less than favorable thoughts about EA in their forums, that one, they're banned from the forum, and two, they are unable to authorize their games so that they have purchased to play. That's right. The DRM, which is designed to stop piracy, keep those nasty pirates off the internet, don't want them doing anything horrible, is keeping people from playing their legitimately purchased items because they have a negative opinion of the company. Yeah, not okay. Now, obviously, EA has not actually stated whether this is the case or not. The author of the article was unable to get a comment from them about it. But he's been finding more and more stories, anecdotal stories of this. So is it true? Not sure yet. But, I mean, honestly, if there's enough smoke, there's probably something burning over there.
I would agree with you, Mr. Walken.
Right, right. I mean, the governor even thinks that this thing stinks.
Yes, it's very stinky.
This is the fundamental problem with a DRM'd system. They say it's not about keeping people that have purchased things from using their stuff, but if they are given the opportunity to, they probably will use it to keep people from doing the stuff that they claim that they should be doing with it because they say they aren't doing it. It just makes life more complicated than it needs to be, and it's not going to stop a pirate because a pirate doesn't really care about these things and is generally smart enough to work around them and create in some ways better versions because of it. Because I mean, that when Ubisoft had, you know, when their games went wall-eyed from DRM server issues, you know, they got a pretty stink eye effect on this also. So this is just further signs of the cracking of the system that is DRM. I mean, I don't mean, yeah.
Tear down that wall, Mr. Guy. Tear down that wall.
Don't let the man be the man. Just relax a little bit. We're not here to steal your stuff. Just let us purchase it at a reasonable price and use it in a reasonable way, and we'll both be happy. You will have money and we will have cool stuff. It works well for both of us.
Stop.
Yay. Don't get so pissed off with the used game market. You made plenty of money the first time around.
Uh-oh.
That's a different issue, but we'll set that one aside for now.
Yes.
Put a pin in that one right there.
Put a pin. Save it for later. We'll save it for later, Mr. Walken. That's what we'll do. I'm going to get the pin. I'm going to stick around issue for later. Ha, you see, I pulled the line from the movie Predator, and I told it to that bin. I said, stick around. And that's what I said to that guy when I threw that knife into him into the wall.
Yeah. that's very good. I didn't happen to see that particular film. I heard it was pretty violent, though.
It's one of my better movies.
I heard that one, too.
I was not in the sequel, though. So watch the first one. Even though Danny Glover was good in the sequel, it's not bad, but it's not as good as the original. I mean, because I'm not in it.
There you go.
But don't worry, this next story has nothing to do with the Predator, but it does have to do with a guy that's really good. The Batman guy. You like Batman? He's pretty good. He punches people.
Yeah.
You like to punch people too.
Yeah, totally. Punches people in the face because his parents, they're dead. And he's very sad because he has no tail and he can't fly either. So,
he's Batman. He flies and he punches people. So, yeah, if you can't figure it out, then my next little story is about the Dark Knight Rises IMAX promo.
Dun, 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 dun.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. There's going to be a 6-minute promo. IMAX promo for The Dark Knight Rises
with
the new Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol movie. But there's a catch.
Uh-oh.
There's a catch. Only select theaters are going to be able to show this. And it's only the actual real IMAX theaters that are going to be able to show this. Not the ones that say like, hey, yeah, we have an IMAX
experience.
Screen. Yeah, yeah. And it's like, yeah, I just paid, an extra $5 or $10 and I got a slightly bigger screen. But no, it's got to be like a real IMAX doodad. That's the caveat there. That's what Christopher Nolan. I got this story from IGN. There's going to be a 6-minute IMAX prologue. We'll run and select IMAX theaters. It's going to be released on December 21st with MI4. Only in theaters with proper film projector, no digital.
Oh, well, that's interesting. He's kind of old school in that way.
Yeah. He shot some stuff with the IMAX, cameras for the second one.
Yeah, I remember
and
that.
And he really liked it, and he was like, I want to do more for this third one. So that's what he did. And so,
cool.
Make sure it's a proper 70mm projection. Otherwise, you'll be disappointed. Now, I'll read off a few of the places you'll be able to see this, but
okay.
I'm not going to go into the whole thing. You can find that whole list.
Full list is at
I found it at themovieblog.com.
Okay.
You can just type in the search for like Dark Knight Rises IMAX preview theater listing. So I'll go ahead and list the ones for in California.
Sounds good.
I mean, obviously, anyone from all over could be listening to this online, and we talked about, on your smartphone and all that. But
right.
I guess we'll just leave it to California because that's...
It's faster that way.
Yeah. There's going to be 4 places in Los Angeles. I mean, that
naturally,
makes sense.
Naturally.
Irvine Spectrum 20, the Rave 18, Ontario Palace Stadium 22, City Walk Stadium 19, And then we have Sacramento, the Esquire IMAX. And finally, the closest one for us is the San Francisco Metreon 16.
Oh, okay. I didn't know they had an IMAX theater there.
So
there you go.
That's going to be the closest for us.
For us.
And it also lists ones for overseas, UK.
Oh, there you go.
So if you happen to be over there during the 21st, I mean, it is holidays. Maybe some people are flying over there.
Yeah, and there you go.
Hang on, I'm going to miss out on this. If you're not, you know, maybe.
If you have a stopover in the UK, make sure it's just long enough to go catch Batman. There you go.
Yeah.
The Dark Knight Rises. Or at least the preview of it. I'm excited for that movie.
The story goes into like a little bit of what it's going to be about. I kind of glanced at it a little bit, but I was just like, forget it. I don't really want to know. I just want to go in and just be like surprised. If I do even end up seeing it, I mean, I got to go to the Metreon. Maybe we can all figure out a group. Because, I mean, I want to see the Mission Impossible movie
right
anyway. But, yeah, we'll have to maybe figure out some way to wrangle all of us together or something.
Herd the cats.
Herd the cats, yeah.
Yeah, that could be fun. Oh, man. I've been seeing just some of the leaked like photos from the sets just look so cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I did find out one thing that I kind of wish I didn't know. It was a post from, I think it was IGN on their Facebook page.
Uh-huh.
And I made a tweet about it, but I was like, I'm not going to relate what this is about because I don't want to spoil it for anybody. But, and then I kind of said what I'd found out. I mean, I don't, maybe you already know, but I don't want to, it's not like, oh, Batman like stabs Bane in the head and that's what kills him. And then the movie ends with the Joker popping out of the graveyard and being a zombie. Like, it's, you know, it was nothing like that. It was just I got distracted by this girl that walked by. Anyway, who would have thought, huh?
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, it was just like I found out just, I guess, a set. I don't know. I mean, if you want me to tell you, I'll tell you. But it's not something that's going to ruin it. It was just something like, oh, okay. I didn't. So,
I, as far as I know, it's going to be they're going to bring back the League of Shadows with Tali, the daughter of Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah, yeah. It's nothing. It's like nothing plot. Nothing like it's nothing character related. It's nothing like oh yeah, Nightwing's going to be in it. You know, it's nothing like that.
Poison Ivy going to be in it with Arnold Schwarzenegger as Mr.
Freeze and hell, Batman, I'm going to make my return. Mr. Freeze is going to be in the movie. You know what killed the dinosaurs, Caleb?
What?
The Ice Age. Cool. That was one of my greatest movies ever, better than Predator.
Kill me.
Batman and Robin. It was awesome. I loved it. You loved it out there, people.
No, just say no to bad movies.
That's not a bad movie.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is a very bad movie. Oh, man. That reminds me, I saw a really cool, this funny comic where this person's like, talking about reading an article, hey, they're making a sequel to, you know, some stupid movie, and like, well, I know how to stop this. What? Yeah, we'll just start a Kickstarter project, and the idea was to we start a fund where the people donate money to stop movies from being made, like the Hardy Boys, Vampire Diaries, Twilight crossover kind of story, where it's just like, okay. that was their premise. It was pretty ridiculous and hilarious. But
yeah, I remember seeing something on the lines of that for like saving up money to send M. Night Shyamalan to
back to film school. Yeah. After The Last Airbender,
which was an awesome movie. It was so cool for Aang and
Sokka. So hard to watch that movie.
I'm the last airbender, man. My name's Aang. I like bend the air, man. So cool.
Yeah. Expositional dialogue, scene number 527. Expositional scene dialogue, number 543.
I'm going to tell you everything because this is how I explain what happened before through really poorly written dialogue.
Really awkward pacing and editing and the single sorriest looking rock earthbending I have ever seen.
Oh yeah,
eight guys move one stone at about the speed
of a bumblebee.
I'll tell you though, man, if they make a sequel, I will definitely watch that on Netflix.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, oh man, how did that movie get greenlighted in the state that it was? Well, I saw how it got greenlighted, but how did it get released in that state? Like, seriously.
I don't know. But
that was, oh man. Words fail for the depression that followed that movie.
Yeah. Let's just switch it to something a little more interesting now.
Yes, something better.
You got to play a little bit of Modern Warfare 3.
I did play a little bit of that just a little while ago, and it's a lot of fun. I was playing mostly the Spec Ops mode because, big surprise, Xbox Live was down. That's a big surprise. Actually, it's been pretty stable for a while now, but they're rolling out a new update, and that always makes things weird.
Something.
Poor Live just never was quite built for that. And Spec Ops was a lot of fun. I was playing the survival mode, which is also known as Horde mode for those who have played Gears of War. And it's a lot of fun. The engine's really smooth. You can definitely tell that they've been pushing that a little further.
You notice a difference between 2 and 3?
Yeah. I did notice a difference between 2 and 3. The maps are nice and detailed, nice and big. The challenge, it's still pretty challenging, but not like so insanely hard that you'd give up, especially once you figure out that you can use a missile to take out the chopper because it takes a long time to shoot him with a gun. I'm not as good a shot as other people, so using something to give me an edge is always welcome.
Yeah.
But
duck and cover and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I was trying that, and then that one would circle around behind me because it was two of them, and then I find bullets in my butt. No, death from behind.
You didn't get the perk. The bullets butt perk protection.
Yeah, I missed the
buns of steel.
Bulletproof butt. Yeah, buns of steel. That's right. Yeah, that video was not available as a perk when I was at the level I was at. So,
But you've liked what you played so far.
Yeah, it was good. Very solid.
You would be happy to find the game under your Christmas tree.
I would be very happy to find that game under my Christmas tree. I would also be happy to find Battlefield 3 under my Christmas tree.
You don't. You don't like that game. You don't like Battlefield at all.
What?
You don't like Battlefield at all. You don't like it. That's what you've said all the time. You just tell me all the time. I am Caleb and I hate Battlefield. That's what you say all the time.
Do not.
Yes, you do. And that, my friends, is going to wrap up Robots Attack. Thank you so much for sticking around.
Woo! We like you.
We like you very much. Again, remember, tell them again how they can contact us, because we want to hear from you guys.
You can find us all over the place. You can find us on the Twitter at Robots Attack Me. And we did get a new follow out of tonight's show.
Woohoo! All right!
And you can find us on friend us on Facebook. Or like us on Facebook, I guess I should say.
Yeah.
And that's Robots Attack. Do a search for that. And then there's our website, robotsattackme, or .me. There's a dot in there. You got to put the dot in there.
Also the dot.
It won't get you very far.
Yeah.
And then you can email us at robotsattackshow@gmail.com.
And please do that. I mean, you know, the show's over, but we want to hear from you still. Send us those emails. Ask us questions. Maybe bring us some topics that you want to hear us talk about on there.
Exactly.
It's totally fine. And,
you know, there's only two of us. We can't find everything.
We can't find everything.
You know, if you can help us out, if there's something you think we should be all over, please let us know.
And we will do our best to bring it to you in our style. The best way that we can.
Yes.
With some humor, with some geekity, all that
and
good
some
stuff.
Really bad impersonations of famous people.
Yes, you love doing the stuff with the news. But yeah, we don't want to hear from you. And also, we got Caleb's got another little show.
Around
that you should check
cooler.
Out, Around the Water Cooler. We have the episodes on our webpage, robotsattack.me.
Uh-huh. And if you want to share this with your friends and they don't happen to be near their computers at this time or near their radio, You can find past episodes of our show at the website as well.
Yes, we have them up there, and this show will be up within a few days. I will try to get it up there ASAP. All right, again, thank you. This has been Robots Attack on KSCU Santa Clara.
103.3, The Underground Sound.
Raccoon, Veronica, Misto.